Chapter 3. HQ. The inspectors arrived in Kelsine Square, covered in sweat. They moved slowly through the crowd. The district center was bustling with patrons for the lunch hour. Hawkers, criers, and hustlers shouted their wares to entice laborers and merchants. Fire exploded in the air above, drawing oohs and ahs from the crowd. Two massive birds of fire and water danced around each other in a perilous fight. Sparks and steam exploded wherever they made contact. "Lord Cretius is showing off today," Elsha commented.
"I wonder what the bad news is," Kent replied.
The two inspectors meandered through the throngs of people, making their way toward the pillared entrance of district headquarters.
"What's this?" Elsha exclaimed. "Someone's got a bit of an audience today."
Kent pushed past a colorfully dressed merchant, spotting a small gathering of laborers. They were standing next to the steep marbled staircase that led into HQ. A voice cried over their heads, but Kent struggled to hear the words.
"Let's get a better view," he suggested, moving up the staircase to look down on the crowd. It was a dour crew. Six or seven men in dirty laborers' grays, each sporting an assortment of scars.
Their faces were heavy with lack of sleep, eyes shot through with stress. The men's gazes were fixed to a young priest of the Prophet, standing atop a wooden box. The holy man looked almost as tattered as they were. White coat dusted with browns and grays of the road.
"You have seen it," the young man cried, voice alive with passion. "You have all seen it."
The man had a bit more vigor today. "We have lost our way," he continued, sweeping a hand over the crowd.
"The spark is gone. The passion is gone. We toil in darkness without hope."
Kent glanced at the crowd. The words seemed to land with the hopeless men.
"For the good of all," he began again. "We hear it time and again, in factories and workshops, starting a second shift at the mill."
His eyes burned with intensity.
"For the good of all," he repeated, shaking his head. "Never have the Prophet's words rung so hollow."
Kent saw nods in the crowd. He and Elsha shared a glance.
"For the good of all," they say, as they carry the fruits of your labor into the canopy.
The priest cocked his head to one side. "Does District 13 ever see those fruits in our midst?
Do our Lord's magics make our lives better?"
he questioned. There were murmurs of no from the small crowd.
"The Prophet's first tenet says, for the good of all. But the only good we get is a light show at lunch."
He pointed at the battling magic birds above.
"But what can we do?" he shrugged. "We're just Cadenites in Caden City. What can we do?"
The men in the crowd frowned. It was a common refrain.
"Two things," the priest stated, holding up two fingers. "You can hold your mayor to account, for he is the voice to the Ignatium."
His head turned across the crowd, meeting eyes with each man.
"And you can meet me back here tomorrow," he grinned, "for there is much more to be said."
There were several grunts from the beaten crowd, but none stayed to chat.
"That was pretty good," Elsha commented, climbing the stairs.
"The end was a bit dubious," Kent grumbled,
rubbing a sleeve across his sweaty forehead.
"Fezzi's not going to be happy about that," she noted.
"He's not going to be happy about any of it."
"True."
She grabbed one of the double doors, gesturing him inside.
"You know," they turned, climbing another flight of stairs, "it wasn't much of a sermon, really."
"He did mention the tenants," Kent argued.
"Hardly," she snorted. They made their way to the third floor, moving through another set of double doors into the law enforcement offices. Rows of officers sat at desks across the room, filling out reports and filing papers. The two made their way to their own seats at the back. The mayor's office was right behind them, shades pulled down to shield the goings-on inside. Kent sat facing his partner. Elsha reached down into a drawer, pulling out a silver thermos. She placed her palm against the bottom of the cylinder. Steam began to rise from inside.
She opened the cap, taking a whiff of the soothing smell. She cooed.
Where'd you get that? Kent asked.
I had it sent down, she grinned. He snorted, reminded again of how the Blessed had a different set of expectations for the world. You can have some, she offered with a pitying look. That is, if you forgot your lunch.
I'll find something in the square.
He paused, feeling a bulge in one of his cloak pockets. Reaching inside, he pulled out a lightly bruised plum.
Elsha shook her head.
She treats you too well. Kent grinned, pulling his stalwart knife free of its sheath at his hip, ready to cut into the fruit. The well-kept blade gleamed in the sunlight through the side window.
"Whoa there, old man," a young voice called. "That looks sharp," another chimed in. "You could cut yourself."
"Hello, boys," Elsha greeted. The Cleary twins, Inspectors Himbolt and Hoyer, approached. "You're looking extra glossy today," she commented, noting the heavy tanning powders on their faces.
"Some of us have ambitions," Himbolt smirked.
"We like to look good," Hoyer added. "Never know when an important mission might come up."
"Speaking of which," Himbolt jumped in, "I heard you two caught a couple of sinners this morning."
Kent frowned. "It was no big deal," Elsha shrugged, taking a sip from her thermos. "Just a bit of cleaning up."
"What about you, Kent?" Hoyer asked. "Must be hard to do a cleansing from outside the house. How do you pull it off?"
"Very carefully," Kent replied.
The twins frowned, not getting the response they'd hoped for. Kent glanced at his partner. She shook her head. She hadn't told them. Himbolt reached out, grabbing the plum from Kent's hand. The aged inspector raised an eyebrow at the young man.
"You weren't going to eat that, were you?"
The twin took a bite of the fruit.
"It's a bit too much for a sensitive stomach like yours," Hoyer sneered.
Kent's frown deepened, but he let the comment lie. "Aren't you two getting married tomorrow?" Elsha asked. "Shouldn't you be getting ready for that?"
"Yes, we are," Hoyer replied. "Unlike you two, we actually have jobs to do," Himbolt added.
Kent's brow furrowed.
"You're both getting married?"
he asked, confused. They nodded.
"Not only do we do our jobs, but we live our lives as well," Hoyer quipped.
"You're both getting married," Elsha repeated, a look of shock on her pretty face.
"To different women?"
"Of course you can't," Himbolt spat.
"Incredible,"
Elsha muttered, ignoring the jab.
"Where did you find them?" she mused. "A monastery for the mentally infirm?"
"Shut up, wench," Himbolt seethed.
"Whore,"
Hoyer added. Elsha's eye twitched at that last insult, but she kept her smile.
"Come on,"
Hoyer moved to leave, gesturing for his brother to follow. Himbolt lingered, taking another bite of the plum, then tossing it into Kin's lap.
"Tasty," he smiled, juices dripping from his chin. "Your makeup is running,"
Elsha noted. The man's smile soured. He turned, catching up with his brother. Elsha took a sip from her thermos, enjoying its warmth.
"Gods are the worst," she sighed.
"You know," she began, meeting his eyes, "you shouldn't let them push you around like that."
Kent shrugged, noncommittal.
"They're just going to keep doing it,"
she pressed, a hint of concern in her face.
"I don't know," Kent replied, reaching into his cloak and pulling out another plum. "It doesn't really bother me."
He grabbed his knife, cutting a slice from the fruit and popping it in his mouth with a smile. A small grin bloomed on her face.
"I guess not," Elsha laughed.
The two ate in silence after that, enjoying their meals. The door to the mayor's office flew open, a squirrely administrator scurrying out.
"It's red this time. Red, damn it. It should go straight to the Lord's eyes."
Jumbled papers fluttered from the administrator's grasp.
"And send in those two assholes, will you?"
"Who?" the administrator began.
"Arcadis and Gray," he cut her off. "I need to see them, now."
The mayor's office was lit by a pale yellow light from the side window. The air was musty and smelled of sweat.
Mayor Fazaline sat hunched over a pile of papers marked with red and yellow tabs. Missives from all over the district. Sweat beaded on the man's bulbous face. His breath was ragged, lungs constricted by his abundant size. He looked up, wiping his face with a sleeve. Noticing the two inspectors at the door, he gestured them inside.
"Good. You're here."
He pointed to the leather chairs before him.
"Sit,"
he said. "You look dreadful, Fessy," Elsher commented.
"Yes, well, I feel worse,"
he said, scratching his signature across a missive.
"I have a lot on my plate, so there's no time for pleasantries."
Fessaline looked up, meeting their eyes.
"Tell me, how did it go this morning?" he asked. "Any trouble?"
"Just a family of four," Elsher chirped. "They didn't put up much of a fight." She frowned, like she'd hoped they would.
"Right," Fessaline replied, uncomfortable. "So, an easy clean-up?"
"Easy enough," she shrugged.
"It better be," he said, annoyed. "The erasure crews were up my arse on the last one."
"Oh, Fezzy," she cooed. "It was one time."
"It was twice," he snapped. "And don't call me that."
"Of course, Mayor Fazaline," she replied in a mocking tone. The mayor let out a deep sigh.
"So what happened in the merchant's quarter?" he asked, interlocking his fingers. "Pater tells me it's settled. Is that true?"
"True enough," Kent replied. "Just a lover's quarrel gone wrong."
"Really?"
the mayor frowned. "Arcatus here almost died," Elsha noted. "Siphelia had him by the throat." Kent grimaced.
"Is that true?"
Fessaline looked surprised.
"He caught me off guard, that's all," Kent grumbled.
"People who kill their wives are hard to predict."
The mayor cocked his head.
"Was it the rot?"
he asked, face severe.
"No,"
Kent replied, confident.
"You're sure?"
The man's eyes narrowed.
"A man's business had been failing for months," Kent said. "They sold the furniture, the paintings, even the drapes. I'm guessing the wife didn't take it too well. So I feel he was drunk. They had an argument, and the man just snapped."
"Hmm," Fazaline nodded, considering. "What a shame."
"What do you mean?" Kent frowned.
"They threw quite the party," the mayor commented. "I attended a few this summer."
"He went to those?" Elsha asked, surprised.
"The mayor must be seen among the people," he shrugged.
"They were into some pretty raunchy stuff," Kent's partner noted.
"Well, I wasn't there for any of that,"
Fessaline snapped, cheeks reddening. "Are you sure, Fezzy?" Elsha asked, a predatory grin on her face. "That pleasure room was... extensive." Kent gave her a withering look.
"What? I can investigate things, too," she argued. "Did you know they had a root network node?"
"Who didn't?" Fessaline griped. "The man wouldn't stop talking about all the work he was doing with Lord Cretius. Needed a direct line to the Lord, he said."
"I didn't take you for a socialite, Fezzy," Elsha mused. "It makes me so proud."
"Anyway," the mayor coughed. "So, what I'm hearing is, no rot."
His eyes shifted to Kent. Kent shook his head.
"No rot," he soothed.
Fessaline let out a deep sigh.
"You need to relax, Fezzy," Elsha noted. "Maybe take a few days off."
"No chance of that,"
he chuckled, gesturing to the mountains of papers on his desk.
"I've got far too much to deal with right now."
"Is there anything we can do to help?"
she replied. Kent kicked his partner's ankle.
"Ow,"
she mouthed. The mayor looked pensive, weighing the risks of accepting such an offer.
"I guess I can tell you,"
he muttered, shuffling through papers before he found a small rolled-up missive. He handed it over.
"These messages have been coming into the city for weeks now."
She took it, unrolling the message.
"I don't know how they get in, but the Cadenites love them."
Elsha snorted a laugh, passing the paper over to Kent.
We think they're using information pipelines, but if the couriers know how it's done, they aren't saying, he added. Lucretius has an acolyte on them like a vice.
The missive had a drawing on it. It depicted a large, ostentatiously dressed Lord Croesus, sitting on a wooden seat with a hole where the bottom should be. Beneath the hole was a huddled mass of Cadenites struggling to blow air on the Lord's exposed ass. Above the Lord was a quote saying, I love these heated seats. At the base of the note was a message that read, Remember the First.
Whoever's writing them, he calls himself the Sentinel, Bezaline finished.
Kent snorted, meeting his partner's eyes.
Interesting coincidence, Kent noted.
Right, Elsha agreed.
What? The mayor cut in. What am I missing?
That crier boy outside, Elsha answered. He had a bit of a crowd today.
Vesaline raised an eyebrow, looking for more information. His sermon was about the first tenant, Kent added. The mayor grimaced.
Probably just a coincidence, he muttered. Whoever it is, we'll sort it out. Lord Croesus has his men working on this, and I've lent him the Cleary boys as well.
So that's why they were so cocky this morning, Elsha commented.
If you see any more coincidences like that, let me know, Vesaline added. But don't spend too much time on it. I have a feeling you'll be needed elsewhere in the coming days.
Kent frowned. That was ominous. You should keep your head on a swivel, too, Fezzi, Elsha chimed in. That crier spun his words in your direction. Vesaline gave her a simmering gaze.
Oh, joy.
That's the spirit, she chirped. Keep your chin up.
Get out,
the mayor said, rubbing a hand to his temple. Kent didn't need to be told twice, pulling his partner from the room before she could say anything else.